It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The White House is imposing a $100,000 fee for each new H-1B visa application. Those visas are for highly skilled workers in specialty occupations.
Previously, it cost employers a few thousand dollars per application, depending on the size of the company. That's according to the research group American Immigration Council.
In recent days, a group of healthcare providers, religious organizations, and educators filed a lawsuit to stop the new H-1B fee, saying it would harm hospitals, churches, schools, and industries that rely on the visa.
Big tech companies are the primary user. For a look at how this visa fee increase could affect the business community here in Wisconsin, we're joined by Dale Coinga, president and CEO of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Dale, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Your coalition represents about 2,000 member businesses employing roughly, 300,000 people throughout southeastern Wisconsin and well beyond that. What have you been hearing so far about how they're going to navigate the new H-1B visa fee?
Well, just taking a step back before we specifically dive into H-1B visas, it's important to recognize the region and our nation has a larger demographic challenge. And there's only three ways to really grow an economy. One is by extracting wealth from the earth. That's really not what we do much in Wisconsin. That's mining and oil and things like that. Two is productivity. We're very, very good at productivity, economic gains in Wisconsin. And three is by having a growing workforce or a growing population. And immigration is an important part of how the region and America in general has continued to grow our economy faster than many other countries, especially Western Europe and other advanced economies like Japan. So when you look at this specific program, this is a very specific program that has not received a lot of criticism in the past because the criteria are very specific that you need to have high skill and the company also has to show and demonstrate that they have a very difficult time filling these positions organically. And it's good for the overall economy. We've had the international talent come here and do everything from provide information technology services in Fortune 500 companies and even be teaching in places like Milwaukee Public Schools.
So there are a range of different, different places of employment. And as what I'm hearing from you is that these are specialty occupations, meaning that these are specialties that would be really hard to find here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, we just don't have – it's an interesting position to be in as an economy is when your economy is doing well, you sometimes don't have all the talent you need to go to the next level. And just a general commentary on where we're at is that if we have more people, we will have faster economic growth. So at a micro level, what's happening here is companies are saying, we want to grow in order to keep growing here in America and here in the region. We need to bring in talent to give us those critical needs. And if you really look at what we call the second or third order effects of this, if you don't do that, ultimately you risk companies moving abroad or at least outsourcing portions of their information technology or other skill sets abroad. Accounting could be one, finance. But if you have this program here, then you're going to get these individuals that come here, invest here, and the company to invest here through these individuals.
So with the fee going into effect on September 21st, in recent weeks, have your member businesses changed anything in their practices?
Well, they're still assessing. We asked around about this. But just if you take a common sense look at this, is that not all businesses and industries run on the same margin. And what I mean by that is this the new fee, which is now six figures, is probably not going to have a prohibiting impact on the FANGs. Those are the Facebooks, Amazons, Netflix, Googles, companies that have billions and billions of dollars of capital and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on this talent are probably not going to be deterred from the high fee. But the reality is a lot of companies that rely upon these are not high margin tech companies with billions of dollars in capital. A lot of companies that rely upon this are more traditional and they are in more mature industries that have lower margins. And when you look at an upfront fee just before you even hire them or onboard them or train them or move them or pay them their regular salary, about $100,000. Our fear is that it's prohibitively expensive for companies in the Midwest, where the cost of living is lower, the margin for mature industries is lower, and therefore it will have a disproportional impact on places like the Midwest that have these more mature industries.
And when you talk about tech companies and infusing tech, you know, one of your member businesses, Fiserv, is the top employer with approved H-1B visas by far in Wisconsin. What impact might Fiserv have? What have you heard from them?
Well, Fiserv have not specifically spoken to Fiserv in detail about the program, playing phone tag on that one. But just in general, is you have to understand that Fiserv is an international company. Mm-hmm. And so when you have international companies, there's going to be a clear assessment financially to ask the question, is that with that type of fee, does it make sense to bring them to Milwaukee, Wisconsin? Or does it make sense to keep them in other parts of the world where nearly all large companies have the ability to outsource parts of their workforce?
So, in closing, what is your next step as a business group on this issue?
Well, we are speaking to our member companies to assess what position they are in on this. I'll give you an example is Milwaukee Public Schools, who we work with closely, want to see them succeed. Before this decision was made, they're moving away from the program for a variety of different reasons. So that was one of the larger, they were one of the larger users of this program. And then the companies that are using it, we're getting feedback on what their lobbying efforts are on this and how can we be helpful. Once that analysis is done, we'll communicate to our congressman and communicate to members of the executive branch we have relationships with, is the full impact of this, and then lobby to minimize the impact of this. Because generally speaking, across all types of programs, is we want to see more talent in our market that goes into the workforce and are able to be productive members of our community.
Dale, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That is Dale Coenga, President and CEO of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. He joined us for a look at how the Trump administration's new $100,000 H-1B visa fee will impact Wisconsin businesses. Now for a look at this visa system and how it works, we turn to Grant Sovereign, a partner and immigration attorney at Milwaukee-based Quarles & Brady, who is helping clients file their H-1B petitions. Grant, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So on Friday, a nationwide coalition of healthcare providers and religious groups and university professors and other firms filed this federal lawsuit over the Trump administration's H-1B visa fee. What is your reaction to this legal response to the program?
Well, I think that the plaintiffs in this case, which, like you said, are healthcare organizations, other employers, are probably right. And because this is a $100,000 fee that pretty clearly, just by its very nature, isn't at all related to the cost of processing the H-1B petitions that employers file on behalf of potential employees. And the law does require that any filing fee has to be related to what it costs to get it done. So what these plaintiffs are alleging makes a lot of sense, is that it really isn't related to it all. But I also would point out that it doesn't even seem like the government is so committed to this $100,000 fee. On a Friday night, 2 weeks ago, they announced this $100,000 fee. And on the following Monday, they issued proposed regulations for how H-1Bs should run going forward, which did not even include the $100,000 fee. And they have still not made available the means by which anybody should pay the $100,000 fee. So even though it purportedly went into effect on September 21st, there is no way to pay that fee or to show someone that you paid it so you could get into the country if you have an H-1B. So I'm highly skeptical that it will actually go into effect.
And there is all this confusion about how the system works and how the lottery system works to bring on these type of workers. Can you give us any glimpse at how the system works with the lottery?
Right. It does sound like, you know, if there's any, what would be the main reason to hire a foreign worker to the United States? Immediately or maybe politically, people assume that it's to bring people in at lower wages, because why else would an American company do this? But the reality of how the lottery works and how H-1Bs work in general is that certainly for the state of Wisconsin, but even throughout the whole country, the majority of H-1B workers are people who went to university here in the United States. So they may have been, they were obviously born somewhere else, but they come to go get their undergraduate degree or a graduate degree at a U.S. university. In the U.S., they have a foreign student visa, usually an F1 or a J1. They graduate from school, they find a job, and that's when an employer says, wow, they're really a great employee, and we have enough need in this particular area that we're willing to pay the legal fees and the existing government filing fees, which altogether could be anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 to hire somebody like this. So the prevailing political opinion that these are workers who we're bringing to the United States to pay less money just is patently false. There is a regulatory requirement that in order to get an H-1B approved, you must prove, the employer must prove that it is paying the prevailing wage to that worker, which means the average wage for that particular job in that particular geographic area. We're not talking about minimum wage of $7.25. We're talking about whatever the federal government's Bureau of Labor Statistics says is the average wage for that particular job, whether it's in Manitowoc or Milwaukee or wherever it is. They look at exactly what that is. So you literally regulatorily cannot hire somebody at a lower wage that would depress the wages of other American workers.
But it seems as if the employer must take a lot of extra steps to communicate why this employee would be essential to their organization.
They do have to show, I mean, the basic requirements are that the employee must have at least a bachelor's degree in a field related to the position, and that the position must always require at least a bachelor's degree in that related field. That's where the term specialty occupation comes from. So you're right. You do have to prove that both the employer normally requires that and the employee has that. But then there is a lot of extra paperwork. And, you know, we call it paperwork, but that's why Congress came up with this rule. They did not want to just bring in anybody to the United States who would depress American workers, who would throw people out of their jobs for the most part, you know, when they came up with this. So the paperwork is about making sure that they're not displacing other workers, that there hasn't been a layoff or there hasn't been any other sort of employment action at that employer, or there's a strike going on. You have to show that you're paying the prevailing wage. You have to post the wages at the employer's work site so that other employees can see we're hiring this worker at this wage. Notify the Department of Labor if you think this is lower than what Americans work at, so that, you know, we know that they are abiding by the rules. So there are a lot of paperwork costs, the fees, hiring a lawyer, doing all this extra work, that it's just kind of a baked in disincentive for an employer to just use this as a way to pay people less or to get cheap employees. There are a lot of costs to do it that no employer, especially in Wisconsin, is going to try and hire somebody in this situation with these extra costs that exist.
What will happen to people in Wisconsin who are currently here on this type of visa? What about when they want to renew?
Well, that's what we're waiting to hear, either from this lawsuit or more specifics from the government. There are first-time H-1Bs who, like you suggested, in the lottery, there are usually around 300,000 employers every year who ask for a first-time H-1B, but only 85,000 new H-1Bs are available each year. So obviously, it's only a 20 or 30% chance that you even get selected. Those are the ones it seems like the government wants to apply this $100,000 fee to. But there are other people then who are extending their H-1B because they already got it the first time and are not subject to the lottery, or there are H-1B petitions where you're moving from one employer to another. It seems relatively clear that the latter two do not require the $100,000 fee, that it may be just first-time H-1Bs. So we're hopeful that the people who already have them can keep planning their travel or keep planning to work here in the U.S., that it may only apply to the first-timers.
Can you speak to non-tech companies in this moment, the nonprofits of the world, you know, even churches or schools, what they might be going through, or hospitals trying to hire nurses, for instance?
I mean, if you look at the top 10 most employers who are using H-1B visas, new H-1B visas in Wisconsin, you can see that there is a little bit of a tech but also healthcare bent or education bent. So healthcare, technology, education are the highest users of H-1Bs. And by the way, when we say the highest, the one employer who uses the most in Wisconsin only got 336 new ones last year. So we're not talking about tens of thousands of people that even make a splash in our economy. There are 2,000 or so H-1B workers in Wisconsin, and there are 3 million workers total. So you can see this is a very tiny, tiny amount that mostly employers are only hiring if they really need somebody because of these extra costs. But you're exactly right. We see people who are in areas that just can't find enough people. I think of one of the most impressive programs for immigration are foreign doctors who work in primary care in northern Wisconsin, where it is extremely difficult to find doctors to work in internal medicine primary care, that doctors who have H-1Bs are able to work in those places that could be dramatically affected by this. And, you know, we're talking, again, in an unemployment rate in Wisconsin of already one of the lowest in the country at 3.1%. We're talking about turning away 2,000 people who work in very specialized fields in places like that in northern Wisconsin. But you're right, there are nonprofits, there are governments, like teachers have in Madison and Milwaukee, have the public school systems have a hard time finding enough teachers in specialized areas that they can find people through this.
Very quickly here, you're skeptical that this $100,000 fee will actually gain some traction and become part of the program. So is this a wait-and-see moment for your clients? What are next steps?
It is very difficult. It's wait-and-see, but employers like to plan well in advance. So it has been very taxing on them to literally not even know where this fee applies or how to pay it. So they are waiting and seeing, but this lottery, you only get to apply for new H-1Bs one time a year in April. So if we don't have something more clear by then, it's going to be a practical problem.
Grant, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That is Grant Sovereign, partner and immigration attorney at Milwaukee-based Quarles & Brady. Earlier, we heard from Dale Coinga, president and CEO of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We've been talking about the potential impact of the Trump administration's new $100,000 H-1B visa fee on Wisconsin employers.